Last week, dear friends, we covered three areas of strongholds that Satan likes to target, three of the most common. Now, they're not the only areas that Satan works on, but they are three of the most common: pride, wrong thinking, and poor self-worth. Boy, he hits us up on those, doesn't he? Folks, spiritual strongholds are so deeply destructive. These times and places where Satan gets a hold of our hearts, he gets a hold of our minds, he gets a hold of our thinking, and those things are so destructive that God's Word speaks often to them, often throughout the Word. It talks about overcoming strongholds. It talks about how to overcome sin. It speaks to how to tear them down. And today's passage tells us something very similar. Would you stand with me? In just a moment, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. In other words, don't be lying. And speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do you hear what it said? Now, I preached a sermon on this just a few short months ago. In your anger, do not sin. Now, you know what that's saying? It's saying at some point you're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. But don't let your anger lead you to sin. Then it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Friends, God's Word tells us that there is the beginning of a stronghold. And that beginning of a stronghold is called a foothold. Now, we're going to talk about that just a little bit today, but before we go any further, would you join me in prayer? Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And would you enter into your own prayer closet? Just pretend you're the only person in this building for right now. You're the only person. You, and then there's God's Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. Would you pray and ask God to help you? Just begin by praying. Say, God, please help my heart. Help me to see the places where Satan has a foothold in my life. And God, help me to kick him loose. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Verse 27 from Ephesians chapter 4 said, do not give the devil a foothold. Now, the start of a stronghold is a foothold, a place. You know, I was looking online to see what it was called. There is an athletic, there is a sport out there called free soloing. Some people call it free climbing. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Anybody? These people go to a cliff straight up, and sometimes even going back over the top of them, and without the aid of ropes from the top, they climb this cliff where there are no places apparent to climb. They literally will find a little crack in the rock. They'll find a little ledge, and they will put their fingertips in it, and I don't know how they do it, but these people, it seems totally crazy to me, climb thousands of feet where there are no stairs, using no ropes except for what they're able to put in case they fall. And they use the tiniest little cracks and crevices as a finger hold and as a foothold. You know what? That made me think about the devil. Oh, not because it's, you know, that they're sinful in trying it. I think they're crazy, but I don't think it's sinful. But it sure made me think about Satan. Because he will look in your life, and according to many people, you look like a stronghold yourself. You look like a fortress. You look good from the outside. But Satan knows where to put his old bony fingers and his toes, and he'll get a foothold in your life, and he'll start climbing to try to conquer you. A foothold spiritually leading to a stronghold is the tiniest of cracks, the tiniest bit of space where Satan can get leverage in your life. And believe me, he's looking for it. Foothold literally means space. Maybe if you were reading from the King James Version this morning, you saw that it said, don't give the devil space in your life. Another version says, don't give the devil opportunity in your life. In other words, dear friends, Christians are not to give the devil any space, any opportunity in their life at all. Any openings give the devil influence in your life. Any tolerance to the devil gives him an opportunity. You know, what was Eve's first mistake in the garden? You remember? Adam and Eve, we've talked about this many times in the last few weeks. What was Eve's first mistake in the garden? Was it taking of the fruit? No, that wasn't her first mistake. Her first mistake was that she gave opportunity for sin in her life. How? By staying and engaging Satan in conversation. That was her first mistake. You know what she should have said? Get thee behind me, Satan. She should have stomped on his head and walked off. But instead, she gave him opportunity to speak to her. And he got to her mind, and her mind got to her heart. We give Satan space. We give Satan opportunity. We give him that foothold by knowingly and willingly going to or staying in a place of temptation. Whenever we know it's a place that we shouldn't be, we are causing already an opportunity for Satan. You see, temptation starts in our mind long before it moves to our bodies. And if it's not crushed, when it goes to our mind, it will move from our mind, it'll go to our heart, and it'll go from our heart. If we don't run, it'll move from our heart, and it'll move to the body. In our heart and in our mind is called lust, and when it moves to the sin of the flesh, it's called transgression. Did you know that you can sin before you ever commit a sin of the body? If you are tempted to steal, but you don't steal, if you're tempted in lust, but you don't commit the act, you can still sin by mulling it over in your mind and letting it go to a place that it shouldn't go. Now, it's not a sin to be tempted, and yet we need to remember that when we are tempted, we need to reject it, and we need to move out of conversation with Satan and say no and move on past it. Now, you see, the thing is that Satan doesn't usually get us to just run and jump into the cesspool of sin. That's not how he works. Now, if he could, he would do it. He would say, just leap off of the mountain right into the valley of sin. But that's not how he usually gets us to fall. First, he gets us to wondering, what's over the edge of the pool? What's in there? What is it that's so enticing and where so many people are out there swimming in it? And then, if he can get us to be entertained in his thought, we want to go look over the edge ourselves. We want to see what's it all about? And the closer we get, the easier it is to be drawn in over the edge, and he doesn't even have to push. We usually slip in ourselves. Does that make sense? So how do we avoid this? Folks, you stay away from the conversation about what's there. Avoid Satan. The more we place ourselves in the way of temptation, the more space we give to the devil to give him a greater foothold so that he has more room to push and more room to converse. And then, dear friend, the more likely we are to lose the spiritual battle. Now, here's the thing. Satan knows that our actions are tied to our thinking. He knows that what we do in the flesh first starts in the mind. He knows this. So his foothold begins in our mind with a thought. Amen? I mean, how many of you just said, oh, I'm going to go rob a bank? Hopefully not. How many of you said, oh, I'm going to fall into this sin or that sin? Hopefully not. And yet it begins in our thinking. So long before it's an action in the body, it's a thought. And it doesn't really matter what our specific area of weakness is. We should be aware not to give Satan a foothold there. Amen? Listen, if you have a particular problem with gossip, don't go hang out in the places where they're talking at work. If your problem is lust of the flesh, don't be watching those things that entice you in that direction. Folks, we should not linger and converse with the tempter. He's good at what he does. He is great at what he does. Don't go to those places where we'll be confronted by sin. I've told you this one 100 times. Just get ready to laugh. Indulge the pastor. One of my favorite shows growing up was Hee Haw. Right? You know what I'm... Some of you already know what I'm going to tell you. And some guy would go to the doctor. And he would say, doctor, doctor, I broke my arm in 3 places. So the doctor very compassionately would take off his hat, smack him over the head and say, then stay out of those places, right? Thank you. I tell you an old joke, but it is truth, dear friend. Satan got me to fall 3 times to temptation, 3 different places. Then stay out of those places. Don't go there. Don't give him a chance to talk you into something and to be in a part of some place that you shouldn't be. Whatever it is, combat it. We have got to discipline our minds to pure thoughts, not impure thoughts. In other words, avoid the sinful thoughts. And that begins by directing your mind to the pure things of God. That begins by looking up when you're tempted instead of looking down when you're tempted. In other words, look to God during those times, not to the devil. Don't give him opportunity. Friends, I'm going to tell you that when you are tempted, do you know one of the greatest ways to avoid being pulled into the sin is to move your thoughts to Christ Jesus. Turn on some praise music. Sing praises to God. The Scripture says that God inhabits our praise. And if God is inhabiting a space, Satan can't get in it. Honor God by looking up to the Lord. Don't look down, look up. I love that old song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember? Look full into His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Listen, when you start looking at the face of Christ, the rest of it will fade out. Give God a chance to give you victory. Today's Scripture, I've got to be true to the Scripture, folks. The Scripture is written in the context of harboring anger. And this is written in an understanding of being careful about your anger. It says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In your anger, do not sin. And do not give the devil a foothold. And this particular verse is talking about anger. But it doesn't matter what the sin is, don't give him a foothold. Verse 26 says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, listen, I dealt with that a few weeks ago, but what it's saying is, in brief, you take care of whatever's causing you to be mad And don't stew on it. Take care of it. Do something about it. Don't let it become a bitterness. Don't let it become something that drives you crazy until you just have to act on it. Forgive the wrong, and if possible, before you even go to bed that night, you settle it with that person. And even if you can't settle it with that person, you settle it in your heart with God, and then you take care of it the first opportunity you can. And all God's people said, I know you understand that. Now let's do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Easier said than done, and yet that's what God calls for. Today, we are looking at this scripture in the understanding that we are not going to give up ground to Satan. We're not going to turn loose of ground we gain spiritually and to give it back to Satan so that he can get up in our face and have a position in which to attack us. So the scripture is an understanding that we can give ground up to Satan in any area of our life. Not just anger, but any area in our life. Here it says, do not procrastinate in dealing with your anger. And don't wait until tomorrow morning to take care of it. But don't go to bed with anger in your heart, it's saying. In other words, it's saying, don't let it build up into a stronghold. Now, people, a stronghold will seldom develop overnight. It could, but it doesn't usually develop overnight. But it does begin with a single act. Hello? A stronghold begins with the single act of allowing a foothold in your life spiritually, by giving Satan a place to stand in your life. In other words, dear friend, one night of disobedience will lead to two, will lead to three, and will lead to a stronghold in your life. Don't give Satan a foothold. In other words, when sin is not dealt with, Satan's hold grows stronger. Don't give him any ground. Now, how does a foothold become a stronghold? Very simply, I've just made a little list here for you. First of all, it happens when we place ourselves in the way of temptation. Remember the dock? Remember the hat? Remember hee-haw? Are you with me? Say it. Say it again. Stay out of them places. Don't go there. Stay out of those places. When we place ourselves in the way of temptation, it's the beginning of a stronghold. Secondly, Satan, when we get there, will entice us to give in to the temptation. He entices us and says, oh, you're already here, what's the big deal? Oh, you've already sinned, you're already there. Listen, no. It might already have been a sin in your mind and in your heart, but don't let it go to another sin by committing it with the body. When we fail then, you know what Satan loves to do? He says, oh, listen, here's how he does it. He says, listen, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing that. Everybody has a problem with this. Everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? And then as soon as you succumb to the sin, he hammers us with accusation. He's the very one that says, oh, it's no big deal. And as soon as we get in there, he goes, ah, look what you did. Doesn't he? Why do you think we feel so much guilt? Why do you think we have to fight the shame? Why do you think we run from God and we try to hide? Because Satan fills us with so much guilt. The enemy that first baited us into the trap then accuses us while we're in the trap and says, ah, look at you. Look how horrible you are. And we already feel bad enough, but he kicks us while we're down. That's his plan. Why is that his plan? To defeat us mentally so that we feel trapped, we feel shame, and we feel powerless to do anything about it. The mental defeat leads to a spiritual defeat. Now, how does that work? Satan looks at us and says, "Ha, you've gone too far now. God will never forgive you for this." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that terrible deepness of sorrow and shame and think God cannot, God should not, and probably never will forgive me of this again? Or how about this? Even if God were to forgive you, which He won't, Satan says, even if God were to forgive you, He'll never use you again. We talked about this last week just a little bit. He looks at us, He says, "You're such a chump to even try. You're a loser." And that leads to the next step in a stronghold, and that is we listen to the accusation and we assume that we cannot change. We assume that we can't have victory. We assume that we are doomed to fail and to fail and to fail and to fail. When we get there, dear friend, we lose hope. We've lost hope. We feel like such a loser that we don't even try to win anymore. And when we don't even try to win anymore, we feel so bad about it, then we try to medicate our failure. Now, what do I mean by that? We look for whatever pleasure, we look for whatever escape that we can find, which is usually the same sin or other sin, to try to dope ourselves into feeling better. And instead, when we place ourselves in the way of temptation again, we just continue to lose battle after battle after battle. And instead of feeling better, we get deeper and deeper and deeper into sorrow and shame and unhappiness. Sound familiar? Let's stop and take a test. Pop quiz right here. Are you ready? True or false? Satan is more interested in what we do with our body than what we think in our mind. False. Because he knows that the body is linked to the mind, right? Question number two. Strongholds are usually related to our thinking. True or false? True. Question number three. After we become Christians, Satan cannot affect our mind anymore. Oh, y'all got that one really fast. Number four. Satan wants us to give up when we're tempted because he wants us to believe that we can never really overcome temptations anyway. So what is it that breaks this cycle, dear people? What is it that brings us out of this vicious cycle of being defeated, feeling shame, needing to be medicated? You know what breaks that cycle? God's truth. God's truth breaks that cycle. Because God says, if you will confess your sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, not part of it. And it didn't say, well, He will forgive only this sin or that sin. And He didn't say, well, if you've committed it less than so many times, He'll forgive you. It says, if you will confess it. If you will confess that it's wrong. If you will confess that God is better than that. And that you want His help and you have sorrow for your sin, God's Word says He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Have you ever had a bad wound? I had a wreck one time on a motorcycle in the gravel without protection on my body. And I had one of the worst cases of road rash that you would ever see in your life. It was awful. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't go to the hospital. Nothing was broken. But I had road rash down my body. It hurt so bad, when I was going to wash it off that I didn't do a very good job. And y'all know what happened? It got worse, and it hurt worse, so I didn't clean it out. And it hurt worse, so I didn't clean it out. And it hurt worse. And finally, it got so bad that I was just about to give up on it. And I was told by a healthcare professional, you've got to get it clean. If you don't clean it out, it's never going to get better. So I took the plunge. And I scrubbed. Oh, it hurt. I scrubbed. And I scrubbed. And I cleaned. And I'm going to tell you, I thought I was going to die. But I didn't. Obviously. Do you know that immediately after I cleaned it right, the pain began to subside, the wound began to heal, things got better quickly. Friend, if I can just make a case for you today, there are some of you who feel like your sin is so bad that it can't be cleaned. Or that moving to God is going to hurt so much that you don't want to do it. Can I tell you, Satan is going to continue to lie to you, to tell you, oh, God won't take you. God can't clean you. God doesn't want you. It's all a lie. God does love you. He gave His Son for you. Amen? God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life. Everlasting life. That's how much He loved you. And folks, if you will just confess it and give it to God and let Him clean you up, the healing begins. Amen? We need His cleansing. Scripture tells us that it is truth that breaks the stronghold. Let me just take a trip with me through John, the Gospel of John. Listen to what he says about truth. John 8:32. You know this one. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, who's the truth? He is. He is not a way. He is the way. He is not part of life. He is life. John 16:13 says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears from God the Father, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you the truth. And you remember the priestly prayer from Christ Jesus for you and for me? John 17 is the priestly prayer where He's praying for us even today. It says, Jesus in His prayer said, Father, sanctify them by Your what? Truth. And then He said, what? Your Word is truth. Friends, if you want to be cleansed, if you want to be stronger, if you want to heal, what you need to do is look to God's Word and practice God's Word, because that's cleansing and that's healing that brings strength. What John's point was is this. Jesus is the truth, and He sends to us the Spirit of truth. How do we break a stronghold, friends? With truth. Christ Jesus is the truth. God's truth sanctifies His children. That's what it said. He said, I will sanctify you in truth. God's truth sanctifies His children. Now, let me just ask you. We know that His truth sanctifies us and sets us free, but what is sanctifying mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? Let me just give you the East Texas version of the definition. Are you ready? Less sin, more like Jesus. That's what sanctification is. Sinning less and becoming more like Christ. Don't do the sin. Do the obedience to Jesus. Don't sin. Obey Christ. That's sanctification. Becoming more like Christ. And he says that will set you free. Free from what? Satanic manipulation. Satan's lies. Satan's guilt, Satan's shame that keeps you in the same old track of sin, shame, medication. Sin, shame, medication. Through the Word of God, we can be sanctified and set free of spiritual strongholds. That's what its Word said. That's exactly what Jesus did. If Jesus Christ, God's Son, needed to do it, how much more do we? In the desert where he was being tempted, it says that he constantly referred to God's Word and then was obedient to it. That's how he escaped it. He responded to the Word of God. He not only quoted it, but he lived it out. Now there are three things to countering strongholds. Strongholds through God's Word requires three things. First, the individual must know Jesus Christ. You cannot call on the help of God to overcome your sin unless you belong to Him. You've got to be a child of God. Secondly, you must know the Word of God. And you've got to know it well enough to use it as a weapon. The Scripture says that this is not just God's Word, it's the sword of truth, and it is your only offensive weapon. Use it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then the third thing, the first one is, you got to know Christ. You got to belong to Him in order to call for His help and to be strengthened by Him. Secondly, you got to know the Word of God and use it as a weapon, as the sword of truth. And third, you've got to be willing to live it. You've got to try. You can't just say all these things and then not try to be obedient to God's Word. God's Word says that if you love me, you'll obey me. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll just go to church. He didn't say, if you love me, you're going to learn my Word. He says, if you love me, you're going to be obedient to the Word, which means you've got to know the Word as well. That is why it's so important to read and memorize the Word of God. It helps guard us against sin. It helps us think about things that are honoring to God. The Word of God, quoted in holiness, causes Satan to back up. And used with the authority of Christ, it makes him run. That's why the Scripture says the truth will set you free, if you will use it in obedience to God's Word. Now, maybe we don't always have access to a Bible. That's why God's Word tells us, memorize His Word. Hide it in your heart. We said some scripture verses earlier today in the midst of a pledge, and that pledge was to the Bible, because that scripture says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy Word. And from Psalms, it quoted, I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart for a purpose. What was the purpose? That I might not sin against God. Read, memorize God's Word. It helps guard against sin. It helps us think about things honoring to God. It sets us free. So affirm your relationship to Jesus Christ, dear friends, and get into the Word of God. Now here's a quick recap. Are you ready? Sermon in 30 seconds. Are you ready? Know the truth, trust the truth, memorize the truth, live the truth. Jesus is the truth. You pray with me? Thank you, God, that your word is the truth, and you give it to us whole and full. God, we ask for your help, because, Father, your Holy Spirit strengthens us to hold on to it. So, Lord, we pray that we would confess our weakness, that we would confess our sin in whole, not in part, but in whole. And, God, that we would ask for your forgiveness and receive your cleansing so that our spirits could heal, so that we could be strong in you, so that we could serve you better. God, we ask for your help, because we tend to want to go look over the edge. God, help us to keep our eyes up. Help us to keep our hearts clean, our minds pure. And God, we know that to do that, we must confess our weakness and hold tightly to you, for you are our strength. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, can I give you this opportunity? Do you know the truth? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him? If you haven't, do it today. God's Word says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. You've got right now. Ask Him to come into your life to forgive your sin. Secondly, are you trusting Him to walk with Him daily? Are you in His Word? When's the last time you spent time in His Word? Are you listening to the little Scripture passages sent to you every day, if you're on that? If not, what are you waiting for? Are you in God's Word? Have you let it set you free by being obedient to it? You've got to want to do it. Do you want to serve God? Do you want to honor God? Do you want to be obedient? Keep your eyes up. Father, that is our prayer. We need your help.